And this morning, with all the other COC churches, we are joining and we're sharing Vision Sunday. And you're going to have an opportunity to write down your vision before you leave the service. So I want you to open up your heart this morning. Maybe you're facing a battle, a challenge. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you're scared. Put everything aside this morning. You're in your Father's house. You're busy with God. So you don't have to worry about what's happening out there. While you are spending time with God and worshiping and praising Him and listening to His Word this morning, God will fight your battles for you. Come on, this is Sunday. It's the day of the Lord. It's the best day of the week. Sunday is a sacred day that God has set aside. So open up your hearts this morning and join us this morning as we spend time in God's Word. So Heavenly Father, we welcome. We thank God for You. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge You in our midst. Thank You that You move from heart to heart. We pray You bypass natural reasoning, intellect. Speak to our hearts this morning. Thank You for rhema, revelation. Thank You that You will build Your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So this morning, Father, I pray help me as a servant to share Your Word this morning into those in this auditorium, those listening online, that our lives will never be the same. So we thank You in advance for Your Word this morning, because it's the only thing that can change us, Father, is Your Word and Your presence. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. And those who agree can say amen. Amen. Okay, now, so just help me this morning. Just tell the neighbor next to you, your wife, your husband, your friend, your colleague. Just say, you're looking good today. You're like, bye, mooi vanoggend. You're good-looking bunch of people. You all look so great. You all look so handsome and beautiful and young. Amen. So, before I start about vision, I want you to know that God puts before us life and death, and we have to choose. And He gives us the answer. He says, choose life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, and the Bible says that God gives us a choice. He says, I call heaven as a witness that I will put before you life and death. I will put before you a choice of blessing and cursing. And we know God's heart. He says, choose life, choose blessing, choose God's way. He says, if you will obey God, get God's vision for your life, walk out His ways, you will multiply. God will bless you in the land that God wants you to be in. Amen. So the choice, whose choice is it? It's not the world's choice. It's not somebody else's choice. It's my choice. Every day I can choose. And I've made up my mind already. I choose life. I choose God's blessing. I don't choose death. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So I also have to choose the words that I speak. When we share about vision, you must understand you have a choice. You can reject God's vision for your life, and you can take it up and you can have your vision, your plans, or you can do it God's way. You can choose to have death in your mouth and in your tongue and always just agree with the naysayers and say, this is a tough land and things are going to go bad, and your mouth can release words of death, or it can release words of life. So when you write down your vision, we choose life. Even though you may feel like not saying it, rather say praise Yara, rather say God is good, than say I am under the circumstances, or you keep on speaking death. Oh, there's power in your mouth. You have to understand that. So our words carry weight. Words are containers. And what we speak, we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouths. Now, I want you to know it's a choice to choose life and or to choose death. Come on, you need to make up your mind this morning, watching there in your house this morning, that God has a plan with your life. And you choose life. Sometimes you have to stretch out your hand over the situation that you face and say, I choose life. Father, thank You for life. Don't choose death. Choose life. Amen. So Habakkuk chapter 2, the key text this morning. Stay with me. I don't have a lot of time and I have to preach fast. So the Bible says in verse 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampant or watchtower or guard post and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered me, said, now this is what you're going to do, Habakkuk. You're going to write the vision. Doesn't help you have a vision in your heart and you haven't written it down. You must write it down. And make it plain. Don't write a chapter. Don't write a book. Don't write a paragraph. Don't write sentences. Long sentences. Long-winded sentences. Write it. Bullet point. This is what the vision is. Write it down. Make it plain. That he may run who reads it. There's a work. There's a task. I love to dream. I love to think about visions. But after I've visualized it, after I've written it down, hey, the Bible says you must run. Okay, that was a weak run. Must I run across the stage for you? Okay, you get the point. Then you have to run. There's a work, there's a task, something you have to pursue. There's action. You must put action to your faith. Don't only pray. A lot of people just want to pray, 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 pray. It's time to, there's a time to pray, but there's a time to run. You know, you'll see people who are pregnant with vision. They're always busy. They're going places. They don't have all the time in the world. Make it plain on tablets that he may run. Say it with me. Say, run. Hardloop. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak and it won't lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And then the last verse in verse 4, the last part says, but the just shall live by faith. Just means you've been justified, not by your own works, but by Jesus Christ's blood on the cross. So a few principles. We have to stand watch in the presence of God. We have to write it down. We have to be patient sometimes. We have to run and get busy with what God has for our lives. We have to use our faith, our choice, our faith to see something come to pass. A vision is not an overnight thing. So vision from God doesn't just come automatically. You have to position yourself. You have to be excited. You have to have faith. You have to believe that God is a dream giver. Many people have vision, but many people don't have vision. And I want you to know this morning, today is your day. Not tomorrow, not next week. Today you're going to get vision. If you haven't got God's vision for your life, you're in the right place today. It's not going to come tomorrow. It's going to come today, because today is faith. Faith is now. So he's the master dream and vision giver. We place a demand. We put our faith and we write it down. When you write something down, you commit to something. And for those of you who have never written your vision down, today is your day. We're going to trust and we're going to pray over your visions for the whole year. And come 2026 December, we're going to look back and see what the Lord has done. Amen. Today, you may even write down your 10-year vision. Maybe it's your purpose, your destiny. And we'll look at that this morning. So I have a few key points that I want to share with you this morning, and the notes will be available for home sales. So once we choose God's plan for our lives, we have to believe it, receive it, and then we have to act on it. We have to run with it. So a few basics this morning, 7 key points. Number 1, vision is a picture of your future. It's a picture. Number 2, it's a visual manifestation of your purpose. What's a manifestation? It's clearly showing something that is abstract or even theoretical that it manifests. Your purpose. Your vision must tie up with your purpose. Because your purpose is your assignment for your life. You're not just here by accident. God planned you. Yes, he used your parents to get you into this world. But you were ordained by God before you were formed in your mother's womb. God set you apart with a plan. And yes, just like the days with Moses, when Moses was born, the enemy tried to kill all the firstborns, boys, all the firstborns. The enemy tried to come and destroy God's plan, which was Moses, to be a deliverer. That's why he said he sent out a decree and they killed all the firstborns. The same with Jesus. When Nero heard, or the king, he heard that the Messiah was born, he sent out a decree as well to kill all those boys that are 2 years and younger. But God gave Joseph a dream, and in the middle of the night he took Jesus and Mary and they left the place. Because there will always be an attack on your purpose and your assignment. You have to realize that. You are a threat to God's enemies. Please understand that. It's not, you didn't start the fight. You were just born into the battle. But you are stronger. God knows how to deliver you. God knows how to protect you. But you have to understand that the purpose and the destiny, why you are alive today in this hour, is because God needs you to be alive. Your time is not up yet. Tell your neighbor, your time hasn't come yet. You're still alive. So vision is when you start to see your future in pictures. Number three, Bible says, eyes not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has in store for us. In other words, he's saying your natural sight, your natural hearing, even your natural thinking cannot reveal what God has for you. But the Bible goes on to say, but God by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will reveal it to you. Amen. Number four, vision is a glimpse of the reason for your existence. Number five, vision is the perception of your divine assignment. Perception meaning your ability to see, hear, or become aware of something through your senses. Number six, vision is the conception, the birthplace of your preferred future. In other words, what you prefer to see rather than what you currently see. We have to have vision for our city, for our nation. We should be able to see poverty and say, I see the natural, but I believe God has a greater vision for our country. Amen. We have a greater vision for our city, for our community. Say amen. It's time we see people have godly visions and dreams. Number seven, vision is the capacity. This is important. The capacity to see the invisible and believe that it's possible. To see beyond what you see in the natural and to dream and to believe. It's a gift of faith that God puts in our hearts. He gives you a capacity. The day you get born again, because God gives us a measure of faith to get saved, to believe. We weren't around to see Jesus die on a cross, but we believe it, right? Because we've seen it. It works. You believe things that work. You see how God has changed your life. How many of you have seen God? We haven't seen God, but we know He exists. The Bible says we must believe that He exists and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So God gives us the capacity to see the invisible, to move by faith and not by sight. That's how He breaks negative cycles, addictions, by giving us a capacity, a power, an anointing, a solvent, a will to break out of the old life and to step into the new. The Bible says, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone. All things have become new. Amen. So vision will break your loneliness. Vision will build your faith. Vision will give you the confidence to move forward, the faith to dust yourself off from failure and hurt and rejection and depression. Vision will get you to fuel your faith and your hope, to move you towards the purpose that God has for you. Vision will help you to keep hope alive. When there may be hopelessness that you're facing, vision will come and remind you that you've written down, but this is the will and this is the vision that God has for us. That's why God gave us the Holy Scriptures, to write it down, that when we are weak and when we start to doubt, we can go to the Scripture, because it is written. That is how Jesus was able to attack or to stand against the attack of the devil in the desert in his temptation and his testings. He said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone," hallelujah, "but from every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." When Satan came to test him, "Throw yourself off this and worship me," he said, "It is written that man shall not worship none other than the true God." It is written. Hallelujah. So you have to write it down so you can see it often. I mean, as a young boy, as a 20 young man, 21 years of age, back in 2006, Pastor Susan encouraged us to write down our visions, because I'd never done it before. I always had vision, but I was obeying 50% of the commandment. I was just thinking about it. I wasn't writing it down. And I wrote my points down and I gave it to her. I said, "I want to be accountable to you." And like many of others in the church that was accountable, we wrote it down. I had four goals that I wanted to do, because I knew Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God first. Write down the goals first. Put God's kingdom first. Let's put my desires second. That doesn't mean my desires aren't important, but I just choose to do God's ways, to give Him the best, give Him the first fruit, honor God with the best. So I put my first 4 points for God and my last 4 points for me. Hallelujah. It was to get my degree that year, to travel overseas, to have a lot of pounds, because I wanted to go to the UK and go visit my sister there. Wanted a lot of pounds. But my first goals were to multiply my home cell, to reach families, 8 families, to increase my tithe to a certain percentage, to pay off my pledge. I wrote these things down and I could see it. I put it everywhere in my fridge. I put it on the visor of my car. Some days when I was frustrated, I'd take out my vision and I'd just dream again and just see everything coming to pass. And then God was gracious, because I could tick maybe 2 of those points already midway through the year. It gave me faith. It gave me momentum. I could see this is happening. This is real. God is with me. Come on, this is what I learned as a young boy, as a young man in the kingdom, to exercise my own faith. Oh, Pastor, please pray for me. I understand when you're going through a battle, you need people around you. But there comes a time where you have to develop your own faith. You've got to get your own vision, young student. You've got to get your degree. Nobody's going to pass that exam for you. You've got to write it down. Amen. You've got to start writing down already the job that you're trusting God for. Come on. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. So, the first thing that God does is He builds and enlarges our capacity inside of our hearts to receive and to believe. That's why the critics outside, don't get blown away when nobody is clapping and cheering you on and celebrating with you when you write down your vision. Be careful of dream stealers. Be careful of those that are jealous, like Joseph's brothers. Don't share your vision and dream just with everybody, because they don't have the capacity that you have. They don't see what you see. Faith enters and we begin to believe and see. And that's how God gives us. He places peace in our hearts. He's broken the power of sin over our lives once and for all. We're a new creation. Puts purpose and meaning back in our lives. And then, very importantly, He gives us an assignment from heaven that we are to get busy with, that we are to run with. We should be so busy with God's plans, we don't have time to sin. We don't have time to get caught up in the wrong things. Amen. We should be builders with God's kingdom. Whether you're an architect, an engineer, a professional person, a student, a scholar, Whatever career God has given you, you should be busy with God's plan for your life. Students, not a time now to look for a spouse. Your time is to get yourself studied, to use this opportunity to be the best. Because there's going to come a time where you can't study again. Hallelujah. You have to believe yourself. The vision is for the assignment, the activity, the work, the task that we should be busy with. That will take faith and require us to believe and trust and exercise our own faith. Flex your faith muscles. Grow your faith. Use your own faith. Pastor, I went to pray for somebody. They're very sick and they didn't get healed. Well, start maybe with praying for people who have a headache. You don't go to the gym and you just start benching 200 kilograms. You start off with the lightweights and you get stronger and stronger and stronger. Don't rely on other people's faith. Use your own faith. Trust God yourself. Write down your own vision. Choose your own self. God puts before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Luke 18 verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus comes back, we know He's coming back. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know we're in the season, right? We see the season. We know we're very close. We're in the end of the end. We're in the end game. We're in the most exciting time of church history. Yes, we're still in the age of grace. So if I fall, if I mess up, there is forgiveness. There is mercy. Hallelujah. You don't have to be perfect. You've just got to be somebody. Says, God, here I am. I might not be perfect. I've got mistakes. I've got issues. But God, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting on the vision You've given me. There is still grace this morning. There is still forgiveness. I want you to know this morning, God still believes in you. God still forgives us. He is just to forgive us when we confess our sins. Come on, the Bible says, praise the Lord. His mercies are new every morning. You may have had a bad day yesterday, but today His mercy is, David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Oh, we need mercy. I need mercy. You and I need mercy. Don't you forget it. We have an advocate. We have an intercessor seated at the right hand of the Father who's been tempted in all the ways that we have been tempted, and He overcame. He has compassion for you and me. His name is Jesus. He's not a distant God that doesn't know what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. He's been there. He's done that, and He conquered it. So He can relate to you. And this morning He's not mad at you. He loves us. So when the Son of Man comes, Luke 18 verse 8, will He really find faith on the earth? The just shall live by faith. You don't see it yet, but I'm believing it's still going to come to pass. I have the heavenly vision for my life. I know why God has put me on this planet. I'm living by faith, and therefore I can take up the shield of faith, which quenches every fiery dart of the wicked. 1 John 5 verse 4 says, this is the victory that overcomes this world. It is our faith. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Bump your neighbor. Just tell them, you're going to have faith today for your vision. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 10, Solomon said, I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. Many of us were busy with God-occupied tasks to see this building get built. This was our vision for the church, for the kingdom of God. The building doesn't just fall out of the sky, but it was a God-given task. Amen. It cost us. It required faith. Flex your faith muscles. See the impossible, but believe it, that God is with us. Vision is seeing beyond what your eyes can see and living in the promises of God for you. That is what means when He comes back, will He find people that are busy with faith or busy with themselves or distracted or caught up or asleep? Today you shouldn't be asleep. You should be busy. You should have a vision from God for your studies, and you can endure. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before Jesus on the cross, because he had a vision of not just dying on the cross. He had the vision of seeing many people get saved. He had a vision of many people being reconciled back to God. That is what got him to endure the suffering and the pain of the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure. If you have vision from God, you will work late hours at night, putting in extra hours. If you have a vision to be a Springbok rugby player, you will put in the practice. You will have the discipline. If you have a vision to be a doctor or to be a godly president of our nation, you will put in the hours to study, to apply yourself. Amen. You'll be busy. You won't just have a job. I have a job. And I watch that clock. I won't give a second extra to my employer. That's the saddest day if you just have a job. Surely you were born for more than just a job. You were born with a purpose. It's time you found your godly purpose. You don't just live for a salary or a paycheck. Us a bliff. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Solomon said, I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. So my question, are you occupied with the God-given task that God wants you to be busy with? Or are you distracted? Are you chasing opportunity, fame, money, and success? Now, God is not against success and money. But if that's all you're chasing, that's a sad day. You should be busy with the plans and the vision and the purpose God has for your life. God's vision will inevitably result in benefiting a lot of people other than just yourself. That's how you know it's God's plan for your life. Your vision is not just about you. Amen. So there's a process. God gives you a vision and then there's a journey. He shows us our vision, but not the process. He showed Joseph in Genesis the throne and his brothers bowing to him. But God didn't show him God didn't show him the prison, the rejection, the hurt. And like they all say, well, because if we did, we'd probably say, no, the throne is not worth it. The throne is not worth going through the pit or the prison. Sometimes we want to have the degree, but we don't want to have the hours that we have to put in. While everybody's partying and everybody's having a good time, you be the diligent student that will say, listen, I really have to go. I'm sorry, but I'm disciplined. I'm focused. I have a vision. While everybody is just loose and doing their own stuff, you say, excuse me, but I have a vision. I have somewhere to go. I have something to do. We don't just party, party, party like the world. We don't sing like the world. We don't talk like the world. We are separated. We are bought with a price. We have value. We have a mission from heaven. We're called to invade this world with the goodness and the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, your vision is a glimpse of your end. Now, the end can be this year. It can be 5 years, 10 years. In Joseph's case, it was 17 years. But it's a glimpse of your future. And between the end and where you are called is called a process that will take you to your destination. That's why it's important to just discern where you're at. So between the end and where you are now is called the process. This period is to prepare you for your destination and your end. It takes all these different steps of your journey to the end to develop you so that you are ready to receive your vision. If Joseph got a vision from God at 17, and the next day this young, immature, vain, ambitious, arrogant, lighty, that's a good Northern Cape word for a youngster. It's not nat achter die ore. If this youngster the next day got promoted to the throne, can you imagine the chaos that young boy would have had if the next day if he sat on the throne with the authority and the power that he had? But unfortunately, God knows better. Amen. We all want to be the CEO, the boss, but you've got to maybe start at the bottom. Develop your character. But listen, if Joseph went straight from there, imagine straight after he'd been thrown in the pit and his brothers were that had rejected him and tried to kill him and sold him out as a slave. If the next day he was standing before them with authority and power, he probably would have wiped out his whole family. Yeah. So the process is to equip you, to prepare you, to get you through so that you are ready to inherit the promises. The Bible says through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. That's why it's so powerful. Vision comes from purpose. When your vision is birthed for purpose, it's tied to your destiny. If your vision is what you invent or what you make up, it will not be tied to your destiny or God's plan for your life. It will not fulfill you. It will not bring peace. And eventually it's going to frustrate you. And you're going to move. You're going to jump around from relationship to relationship, from city to city, from job to job. You're going to be irritated with everybody around you. But the problem is not with everybody around you. The problem is with you and with me. That's why it's important. Like Habakkuk says, I will stand on my post. I'll come in line. I will position myself. Heavenly Father, thank you for your vision for my life. If you're 13 years of age today, it's important you already ask God for the plan and the vision for your life. That's why we tell our young people when they marry somebody, you marry a destiny. You marry someone else's vision and dream. Don't just marry because they look nice. What's on the inside of the brother? Is there a vision? Or where is he going? Vision is what you see, what you were born to do. Your process, including your past, is important. I'll say it again, the preparation, the journey, the path that you've already been walking on, including the highlights, but also the lowlights, the victories, but also the pain, the rejection, the hurts. Yes, even the things you never even asked for. The unfair things that came your way. The curveballs that you did nothing wrong. Yet you suffered because of someone else's mistakes. All of those derailments, they matter because they get you ready for you to get to your palace. Amen. Your past is actually what's guiding you to your future. Hallelujah. Think about that for a moment. Your past is helping you. Your past doesn't dictate who you are. You may have failed. You may have made mistakes. That's not who you are. But the character, the shaping, the ability, the grit, the maturity that's taking place is what's going to guide you to your future. As you remain submitted to God's will and trust Him for your future. That's why you trusted God for this job and then you didn't get it. You can now say, well, God's got something better. Hallelujah. I didn't make the team. God's got something better. How do I know that? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. You should pray this, Father, I give you my life. I give you my everything. I submit my life to your purpose. Whether you're a farmer, whether you're a politician, a businessman, an entrepreneur, what you need is a vision from God. Amen. You need revelation. You need something bigger than just to have success. As a student, as a mother. Listen to what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50 verse 20. He said, you intended to harm me. Talking about his brothers. When he finally got to the palace and he's on the throne and he has the power to destroy them. He says, you intended to harm me. But God intended it for my good.
He makes all, he turns it around. People come and maybe harm you. God turns it around for your good. He said, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. We all know about the dream that Joseph could interpret. The world came to buy grain at his foot because he could save people out of poverty and out of a mega famine. And God gave him favor, wisdom, and while he was busy changing the nation and saving the nation, God gave him an opportunity to save his very own family as well. Praise Jesus for that. The three Hebrew boys that were thrown in the fire, it was never just about them overcoming the fire. It was about Nebuchadnezzar, the evil king who threw them into that fiery furnace to change his mindset to say, wow, your God is real. And he rewrote the laws and the whole nation got saved. Hallelujah. When Israel left Egypt, God himself was trying to show the Egyptians and all the other false gods, the frogs and all those things that were gods in the eye, that he was higher. So even Israel was being delivered out of this stronghold. They themselves were being set free. Wow, he is the real true God. Come on. Your vision is to save many other people's lives. You're not just born for yourself. You're born to impact many. God will give you influence and favor in your business, in your career, in your destiny to impact the lives of many, many other people. That is the will of God for your life. You must know that you will be promoted for purpose. You will be favored for purpose. You will be a handpicked like King David when they called a meeting and the prophet Samuel said, do you not have another son? Do you not have another son? Lord, have I missed it? You told me to come to King David, to Jesse's house to anoint the next king. Did I miss it? No, ask the dad. Ask the dad. And we don't know for sure, but scriptures do share that he was maybe born out of wedlock. Wasn't a perfect marriage. Maybe it was Jesse's non-wife. So David was in the field taking care of the sheep. He made them all wait. He made them all stand up. I'm not leaving this place until you go get that young boy. Because God has a destiny for that young boy. You see him as a young boy, God sees a future king. Thank you. God anointed David for purpose. He got the promotion. His brothers, as jealous as what they are, they had to suck it up. Their youngster would be the future king. Because he had a purpose. He would be a fighter. He would be a deliverer of the nation. He would have courage and guts. While nobody is looking, while nobody sees you studying, working, practicing, while nobody sees you on the backside of a desert, God sees a future deliverer. God sees you. And sometimes to get through those dark, lonely moments, he gives you a vision of your future. And that's why you have to write that vision down and make it plain. And though it tarries, surely it will come to pass, because the just are called to live by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Are you getting something this morning? So your past is important. God will many times guide your future by giving you a past that has prepared you for it. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 19. My time is almost done. The ESV version says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Solomon is saying, if a man doesn't have a vision for his life, he or she, they will lose self-control, they will lose discipline. The same goes for more than just an individual, a community, a city, a nation. If there's no vision in your company, there's no discipline in your organization. In other words, Solomon is saying it like this. You want to make your organization or your life purpose, get a vision. Vision will imprison you. There will be a discipline in your life. There will be order. If you find a vision God has birthed in you, you will run. You will pay the price needed. You will be disciplined. You will be able to say no to many distractions. Come on, young people. 85 and younger. Come on, how many youth in this church? If you're 86 years of age and older, you don't have to stick up your hand. But if you're 85 and younger, come on, let's just see you. Yes, sir. Come on, you young bunch. Caleb at 85, he said, the same strength I had at 45, I have now at 85. Give me my mountain. Give me the land that God promised me. He never lost his vision. He never lost his faith. He said, the same strength I had at 45, I have at 85. Give me my mountain. Give me my vision. Give me my palace. Talk about a man who had to wait for his vision. He did nothing wrong. He was the one with Joshua that said, we are well able. But the sad 10 other people never had the vision that God had for them. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own eyes. They said, we are not able to enter the promised land. Like a lot of people with their mouths, they say, oh, we live in a tough nation. Oh, the giants are here. Oh, it's hard to live in South Africa. It's hard to build a multiracial church in Kimberley in the Northern Cape. They speak it and speak it, but that's not who we are. We say, hey, but if God is with us, surely if God has a vision, it's going to come to pass. My time is up. Let me close here. Listen, you may even lose some friends. Because not everybody is going to run with you. Just make peace with that. Young people, you need men and women that will have a vision with you. Not everybody could enter the promised land. They wanted to chill and relax and not run. They wanted to play it safe. No, you're called to be a risk taker. You're called to see the impossible. You're called to do great things for God. Come on, maybe you're a businessman, you're doing business in Kimberley. God wants you to do business in the province. If you're doing business in the province, God wants you to do business nationally. If you're doing nationally, God wants you to do business internationally. He wants you to write out your invoice, your tax invoice with maybe a dollar sign or a euro or Chinese currencies. Come on, you have to think bigger than yourself. Don't just live for me and my wife and our speedboat and our dogs and our holiday and our pension. Get a vision from God. Blessed to be a blessing. God told Abraham, I will bless you, and through you all nations shall be blessed. You've got to get a bigger vision. Don't be limited by the Kimberley mindset. Hey, thank God for our city, but the Kimberley mindset, that's why we call the why. Hukum. Why? You must tell them to change your mindset. You have a vision. You can build a multinational company in Kimberley. You can do business internationally in Kimberley. Amen. Come on, we can see this building. We can see two services on a Sunday here in Kimberley. Sometimes your dream must scare you. Sometimes you must actually laugh at your dream. Like Sarah, when God told her she would be with a child in old age, she began to laugh. Hallelujah, because it was impossible. But God knew better. Hey, maybe God wants us to have three Sunday morning services here in Kimberley. Ha, ha, ha. Pastor, you laugh. You're making a joke. Hey, well, maybe it's a God vision to see people get saved from this place. Faith has a laugh. There's a joy. The kingdom of heaven isn't in eating and drinking. It's in righteousness, peace, and a joy in the Holy Ghost. Your vision will make you have joy. You'll have joy again. You'll have adventure again. I pray God will awake you at night and give you a vision so big that it scares you. Come on, man, family. God wants us to do great things. He gives us a vision. It's like he says, he has a fertile field. He supplies. He has a farm. Now you determine your harvest by the seed that you sow. Here it is. He has a blank book. You write your future in it. Don't let other people write your future. Let God in you inspire you to take your pen and you write the preferred picture that you have of your future. Can I get my camera? We all know cameras, right? Here's our principal. Thank you, Mr. Principal. Camera takes a picture of our reality. Right. If we take a picture of this church now, I hope it's going to work like we're supposed to. A camera can only take a picture of what you see. Am I right? Your reality. You take a picture of a tree. Oh, there's the tree. A camera can't take a picture of your future. Am I right? So during the service, we had a guy take a picture of the service. Please put the picture up. Okay, there's our church. Can you see it? That's a reality. They took that a couple of minutes ago. While you were listening to the pastor, they took a camera picture of you. That's your reality from this camera. I wish I had a camera that could maybe take a picture of the future. Guess what? This is a special camera. It took a picture of the auditorium in a couple of months from now. Do you want to see it? Would you like to see it? No, you obviously don't. Okay, they don't want. Do you want to see it? Okay, put that picture up. Come on. Wow. It's full. That's a picture of your preferred future. Now listen, you're not going to get it in a camera, but the Holy Spirit is going to, through the inspiration of God, He's going to take off the limitations. He's going to show you your future for your life. Come see me, we're selling these cameras. We need money to pay off the debt of the building. Thank you, Jesus. It's your reality. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think or even imagine, according to the power that works within us. Listen, God wants to give every person here listening to the sound of my voice a godly vision for their life. You can cast off distractions. Be disciplined. Harness your purpose. You can run. When you stand before God one day, like Paul said, I've run my race. I've finished. I've kept the faith. I've fought the right fight. And now there's a crown waiting for me. Come on, family. I want everybody to close their eyes. You see, eyes can only give you sight. But your heart, your spirit, inspired by God's word, can ignite faith and give you vision. That's why sometimes you must be suspicious of your natural eyes. They can sometimes be your greatest enemy of your vision. We're not moved by what we see, we move by what we believe. Sight can restrict you to the present, while vision releases you to a bigger and brighter future. We all need God's inspired visions for our lives. You can see God's plan. You can know God's purpose. You can know God's destiny for your life. As you close your eyes this morning, you can believe and begin to see. Even with your imagination, you can hope again. You can dream again. You can see your healing. You can see your breakthrough. You can see the preferred picture that God has for you. You can see His promise coming to pass. You can see yourself entering the promised land. You can see how you slay your Goliath with God. You can summit your mountains and you can do the impossible because God is with you. The people who know their God will be strong and will do great exploits. So Father, in the name of Jesus, every person this morning, we've heard about vision, we've heard about process. We've heard about capacity. We've heard about writing the vision down. But I pray, Heavenly Father, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit this morning, that you will come and bypass intellect and natural senses and speak to our hearts this morning. See that vision. See that coming to pass. See it's godly. That dream God has given you, it's from God. That thing that won't leave you. And it'll always encompass helping, blessing, empowering, influencing many, many other people. Come on, we call as a church to lean to many nations. We call to see many, many people come and get saved and encounter a beautiful, loving, merciful God. We see this. Get a vision to finish and qualify. Get a vision for 2026. So Father, thank you right now. You promised us in Joel chapter 2, you would pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, men and women, young and old. We dream again. Thank you for visions and dreams. Help us to formulate it. Help us to write it down. I ask this through your grace and through your mercy in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to just say in your own words, ask Him to give you a vision and a dream for this year and for the rest of your life. Just do it right now. Forget your neighbor. This is between you and God. Nothing to do about your spouse or your boyfriend or your husband or your wife or your best friend. This is between you and God. Just ask Him. Ask Him. God, thank you. I ask you for a vision for my life. Help me to dream the dream you have for me. Maybe my parents want me to do this, but what do you want for me, God? What do you want for my life? Put your life in His hand this morning. Come on, I'm going to give you a few more moments to just ask God this morning. In your own language, in your own words, in your own faith. Life and death, choose life. Blessing and cursing, choose blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, it's not time to retire. Hallelujah. Come on, evangelist. God's going to use you to preach and to equip and to make disciples. Some of you are bored because you're not making disciples. The supernatural will follow as you go and make disciples. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We come in agreement. We come in agreement with every person here this morning. Show them your vision. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, just say amen with me. You can look up at me now. Thank you. Have you received something? But Pastor, I'm waiting. Well, may you get the vision still this week. If you need help, come speak to our pastors. We can agree with you. You need a vision from God. And what we're going to do after the service, if you have your vision, because many of you have, you're going to write it down. Don't ask me how, ask the ushers, they'll explain to you. You're going to write it on a board and we're going to put it up on the church and we, our intercessors, the people who pray, who are called to pray with all of us, we're going to pray over that vision of yours, that it will come to pass. Is that okay? Can we pray over your vision? Okay, we'll pray over it, but you've got to write it down so we can see it. You don't have to put your name there. You'll know where it is. You'll see it come to pass. Hallelujah. I just want every head bowed, every eye closed. This is probably the most important time of the service. You're here today because maybe a friend or family member invited you. You've been a Christian, but there's not an opportunity in your life where you've had the opportunity or the privilege to publicly acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus died publicly on a cross. He wasn't ashamed of us. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you will deny me before man, I will deny you before my Heavenly Father. But if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Heavenly Father. There's just something about making a stand for Jesus Christ. It will never work if you're ashamed of Jesus. You're sitting here today as the word was being preached, your heart was being stirred, and you know God has been calling you. He's been drawing you closer. Maybe you couldn't put your finger on it, or you didn't understand it. But today you know that you must be born again. Jesus said to a religious man, you must be born again if you want to enter or see the kingdom of heaven. He said, how can I enter my mother's womb? He said, no. What is of flesh is flesh. What is born of flesh is flesh. But what is born of the spirit is spirit. There has to be a day in your life where you've asked Jesus Christ, not just the man upstairs, but Jesus, the Son of God, into your life. I came to a church like this many years ago. I call myself a Christian. I read my Bible. I prayed. I went to church now and again. But if I was honest with myself, I didn't know where I'd go if I die. There's the acid test. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? The Bible says in 1 John that you will have assurance that you may know that you're a child of God. Today, there should be a peace and knowing that if something would ever happen to you, that you know you will stand before God one day. And that you've received His Son. And I want to give every person, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, not to put anybody on the spot, but to give you an opportunity. Right now, in the presence of God, amongst these people, which is a safe environment, a safe place, to give your heart to Jesus. If that is you, say, Pastor, I'm ready to give my heart to Jesus. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to acknowledge Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven, but I want to know. If that is you, then while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers and intercessors are praying right now. If that is you, please, sir, ma'am, meneer, mevrouw, whoever you are here today, won't you please just raise up your hand on the count of three. Forget the person next to you. Just indicate to me that I can pray with you, that I can lead you in a prayer. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Hands. Hands up everywhere. Bye, donkey. Thank you in the back. God bless you. Thank you. Many hands. The Bible says many in the valley of decision. Thank you. Thank you. Let me pray for you. Slip it up high, boldly. Thank you. God bless you, donkey. Donkey in the back. Thank you. Thank you, young person. I see those hands. God bless you. If you've raised your hand, you can put it down. One last time. You haven't raised your hand. Maybe you once served God. Life happened and you no longer serve God. You want to come home today like the prodigal son. If that is you, please, won't you just slip up your hand? Pastor, I want a new beginning. Thank you. God bless you. Many hands. Family, won't you look at me? Right across this place, our time is up. There were many of you that raised your hands. In a moment, we're going to sing a song. I need you to do one more thing for me, please. I want to meet you in front here. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. I need you to take your personal belongings so nothing happens to it. If you came with a friend will come with you. Please, have the boldness to come and meet me here as we pray. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. Can we do that? Let's all stand. And let's encourage every person that raised your hand. Please, come and meet me in the front. Just come. Just come. Don't let fear hold you back. Just come. As we sing. No other name can save you. No other name can restore. Puts before us life and death. No other name. Choose life this morning. You choose life. Come. No other name but Jesus. No other name can save you. No other name can restore. Maybe you must just turn to your neighbor and say, if you want to go, I'll come with you. Not to embarrass them. The Bible is full of stories of when one brother turned to his brother and said, come, I'll go with you. Come on, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Come on and surrender your life to Jesus this morning. The greatest decision you can make for your life. No other name can heal your heart. Come on, I still know there's more of you. There's more of you. Come. Come on, we don't have a lot of time. Please come, come, come.
No other name can save you. No other name can restore. No other name can heal your heart. No other name but Jesus.
Come on, let's just give God a big hand for these wonderful decisions. Thank you for coming out, everyone of you. Amazing. The Bible says you must believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. So I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, but you must say it loud enough that you can hear your own words. It's not my prayer, it's your prayer. I'm just leading you into it. So if you can, you can place your hand on your heart and say this with me. We can all join them. Wherever you are, here in this auditorium, watching online, join us please. Maybe you raised your hand at your house. Place your hand on your heart and join these wonderful people here this morning. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I repent of all my sins and I acknowledge that I need a Savior. Jesus Christ, be my Lord and be my Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came from heaven, you died on a cross, you went to hell, you conquered the grave, and on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I put my faith and my trust in you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you, Jesus. Come and live in my heart all the days of my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give them a big